Welcome to the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. Each week we sit around and discuss the music from our past. Sometimes we agree.
I call it iconic. It's a 10. That riff is it's incredible.
Clearly a 10. This is one of the most iconic songs of the 80s.
Iconic from start to finish.
And sometimes we disagree.
The song sounds like something you might hear at your aunt's funeral.
The absolute worst lyrics ever.
With the juvenile flush on that one, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not dealing with that crap.
Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
All right, guys, we are back with another Audible Ecstasy podcast. It is a bonus episode this week. We have Jesse back with us filling in while Anthony is sunning it up down in Key West. We've got the special guest that he was here before. If you guys know our podcast, he brings some classic rock, some punk rock to our podcast, and we're looking forward to discussing his pick this week, which is Thin Lizzy's Jailbreak from 1976. Y'all ready to do this?
I'm ready. Yeah. Jesse, we normally let Anthony give the tagline, but do you have one you'd like to throw out?
You got a tagline for this?
I don't, man. I come extremely unprepared, so.
That's okay.
Man.
Let's just say, short notice. This the boys great. From the Audible Ecstasy podcast are back in town. How's that?
There you go. Yeah. That sounds good. All right. Well, let's get this classic rock party started with track number one from the album. It's the self-titled Jailbreak. Hit it, Chris.
Getting up and going down. High to low, looking right to left. If you see us coming, I think it's best to move away. Do you hear what I say? From under my breath. Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak. Somewhere in the town. Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak.
All right, guys, Jailbreak. I would dare say this is probably the second most famous song on this album, and it is an incredible start to what many folks out there consider to be a classic 70s rock album. I love the song from start to finish. So easy to get into and sing along with. It's a great performance from all the members. It is a rockin' tune. I knew this one very, very well. I think it's been duplicated many, many times over the years by bands by just doing, you know, covers of this song because it's such a great, great song. I will say this. My scores are going to be a little bit weird, and I know I'm going to play it by heart on this one because this one right here I hadn't listened to in, quite a few years. But I will say this. I think this song is a deserving to be iconic and perfection in classic rock because of – what it meant to me, one of the first songs I ever heard by him. And it's something that's played regularly to this day on rock radio. I'm giving this one a 10. Chris, what'd you think about Jailbreak?
I'm going to let Jesse go next. I want to bring up the rear like Anthony normally does. I got a few song facts. Only about half the songs on this album had anything on them, but this one does. So anyway, right, I'll let Jesse go and then
right,
I'll
Jesse,
bring up the rear.
My bad. Go ahead, buddy. Talk
awesome.
To us.
This is the way to start out a record. I mean, you just hit a chord, let it ring out, give it a couple seconds, and then break into it. Like the riff in this song, I mean, that is just a heavy riff. And one of the few notes I wrote down about this song was, I just wrote, this is hard rock. Yeah. That's it. I mean, this is like the best example you could give somebody of what a hard rock song is. Not Southern rock, not metal, just hard rock. I mean, it's a prime example of what that is. The drum feel just before it breaks into the chorus is great. I mean, the drummer's, drummer's fingerprints are all over this album. He stands out, but not too much.
His signature is there.
I love it. And one thing that is always stood out, like, other than the obvious of this just being a great rock and roll song and having some of the best riffs out there, is the fact that this song paints a pretty chaotic picture of what's going on, right? This is a jailbreak. There's a riot going on. Yet, yeah. Phil Lynott is cool enough and has the presence of mind to try to pick up a woman while this song is going on. There's a part in the song. I mean, everything is falling apart, man. Like, the city's in shambles. There's a jailbreak. Like, you got the sirens going on. And all of a sudden, Phil Lynott just stops and says, "Hey, you, good looking female. Come here." And that's it. And I've always found that since I was a kid, I found that hilarious. And I had a cousin that would literally say that all the time. He'd be at school, some girl would be sitting there, and he'd be like, "Hey, you, good looking female, come here." They had no clue it was from a Thin Lizzy song, and it was like an inside joke. They just thought he was weird. But that just stands out. I love this song, and I love it even more because of that. So in terms of score, I gave it a 9 because it's not one of my favorite Thin Lizzy songs, but it is a fantastic song. I love it.
I'm with you, man. I talked kind of briefly to Chris about this, and I was like, we kind of discussed the 10 factor on this, and I'm pretty sure I know which one he's going to give a 10 to, but dude, I couldn't let this one go by because I just knew this one so well. Yeah. All right, Chris, talk to us. Jailbreak.
Okay, we'll start with the song facts. And actually, there aren't a ton of song facts on this song. You'd think there would be, but they're not. Basically, here's what it says. Similar to Thin Lizzy's hit, The Boys Are Back in Town, this song finds the band singing about the hell and unrest they're about to cause in this particular evening. It says the both songs are kind of staples for them as far as that goes. It kind of hit both of those songs. But with this song, this was in the movie Detroit Rock City, in a scene where one of the characters from the boarding school that his mom was taking him to heads off for the Kiss concert. I don't know if you guys remember that movie.
I do
remember that.
I love that movie.
So, like, again, it's a chaotic scene. He's breaking out of boarding schools and go see Kiss, you know. That's pretty much all it said on this. It talked about a commercial it was in, but that's not really memorable stuff. For me, it is, the drumming is exceptional. Jesse is, for those that don't know, he dabbles in drumming himself. So I can see why this album grabbed you, because the drummer is fantastic on this album. Really, the whole rhythm section is too. Phil does a great job with the bass as well. I like the guitars on this, man. There's like a crunch that these guys have to the tone in their guitars. It's fantastic. It's just one of those choruses that's easy to sing along to. Just kind of gets you in the mood to rock. You said hard rock, man. This is rock and roll at its finest right here. I don't think, okay, as far as the score goes, we've kind of jumped around, so we gave ourselves a little wiggle room on things. 10 doesn't always mean iconic, right? 10 means perfection now. So I'm not sure if this song's iconic. I definitely know the one that we all know on this album is iconic. And I didn't know it, but I don't feel like it's that much of a staple where I can just go ahead and freely give it a 10. So I'm going to give it a 9 as well.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, man.
But yeah, it's a fantastic way to open this album. And these guys are just on point with this song. Yep.
Agreed. All right, well, we're going to go to track number 2. And Chris, it's called Angel from the Coast.
The Sacred Heart is bleeding. Go tell the Holy Ghost that the junkie is cheating to get the things he needs the most. Lady Luck has got me covered, keeping her watchful eyes over me. The lovers are discovered, the charge is first degree.
Like I said before we got started, this is going to have a different type of review for me. This song right here, Angel from the Coast, man, this song's a sleeper. I love this song as it rocks from start to end. I don't have any idea how famous this song would have been back in the 70s, but I'll be honest with you, this is tied to be my favorite song on this record. I love the funky guitar licks that Scott Gorham and Brian Robinson are bouncing off each other throughout this entire song.
And I can't say enough about how this song transitions between the chorus and the breakdown as you get toward the end. It's such greatness. I, for one, think this song is outstanding. I'm giving this one a 9. It's certainly not a sloppy seconds on this one. This is a great, great tune. I love it. Like I said, it's tied for my favorite song on this record. Chris, or my bad, Jesse, what do you think about Angel from the Coast?
Man, I love this song. And the way I view this album, like I see this album in a different context than a lot of people, because I didn't know, like I first heard this album when I was 7 years old, or maybe 8 or something like that. And I've still got the same exact cassette tape I listened to earlier today that I heard this the first time on.
Oh, wow.
And like at some point I'd probably heard Boys Are Back, you know, or something like that before this, like maybe on the radio. It's before they put songs like that in Applebee's commercials. So, you know, maybe I hadn't heard it. So like in terms of what was a hit and what's not, that never really swayed how I viewed this album. You know, I didn't realize that until kind of after the fact. But I always liked this song. The guitar tone, it's clean.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a couple spots where they, you know, probably hit the distortion pedal later in the song. But yeah. Jimmy's right. It kind of has that funky feel to it. And you got like that kind of choppy rhythm. And then every now and then, the other dude pops in with some stabs and some accents. Yeah. And gives it like a little bit more flair. And I love that. And then the part where you break back into that part, there's a lot of good starts and stops. This is almost like a chase scene in a movie or something like that. You know, nice, I mean, you got the ups and downs, and then right as you're closing in on the crook, that dual guitar comes in, that harmony, and that's like kind of when he takes off, looks back, gives you a grin, and gets away. Like that part, like that's what I imagine when I hear that part of the song. Like when they both come in and they run off, it's like a runaway solo, and they're both just kind of, it's not really so much as a solo as it's just a lead part, but they're both playing it in unison, kind of like a dual harmony, and it just sounds awesome, man. I love the tone on the guitar on a song. So I gave this one a 10. This is one of my favorite songs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dude, that's fantastic. I love it, man. Perfection from the Lizzy. All right, Chris, your thoughts on Angel from the Coast?
Okay, well, there were no song facts on this one, so I'll just read it from my
Shame.
Notes here.
Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I know. You thought there would be. Well, I'll tell you one thing, though, and it's funny. Just the way you mentioned talking about a car chase scene in a movie or something. It's funny you say it, because my first note was like, this feels like something you'd play on a road trip when you're like driving it out like on Route 66 heading, you know, convertible drop top kind of thing.
Yeah.
It really does have that kind of feel to it. It's a very guitar centric song. I like the way, and I can't capture this the way I pull these clips, but the way this thing kind of bounces around in the headphones when you listen to it, because they're coming in on different channels. The two guitarists, and you just hear them coming in different sides, and it's a pretty cool thing to hear on headphones. You don't always hear it just driving in your vehicle down the road as much as you do when you've got headphones on. Again, the rhythm section, we're gonna be saying this all night, crush it. That drummer is just one of the best there is. He really is from that decade. And then they've got kind of like a jam session in the middle that sounds really good too. I may be a little low on this one. I gave it a 7. I think it's great.
No, it doesn't draw that.
But, I mean, there's better songs on the album, but I think it's a solid song. I do.
I'll be honest with you. Like I said, I hadn't listened to it in many, many years. And when I re-listened and heard this one again, I was thinking to myself, this is probably a song I would have skipped when I was younger. But the older I get, the more I appreciate those little guitar riffs, those licks. And it really, I keep coming back to that song over and over again over the past week or so, or past, you know, 5-6 days, whatever I've been listening to this thing. But yeah, man. Oh my God. I think it's just a beautiful mix, and it's just great. All right. Well, let's move it to track 3. It's called Running Back. Chris?
Come running back to you again. If I said I was sorry, would you still leave me? I never thought you'd go.
All right, so Running Back. This one right here has a very smooth intro, and it's vocally smooth as well. The keyboard is absolutely different. Some guy named Tim Hinckley is the one who played keyboards on this, according to Wikipedia. I don't know how true that is. It says that he's uncredited on the record, so I don't know if it's, you know, it's a factual statement or not. Then you got that hint of saxophone that gives this song an air of coolness to it. Phil's vocals so strong on this song. I will say this multiple times throughout the night. I don't know if you guys can hear it or not. Chris, you may not recognize it, but he has almost a Jimi Hendrix vocal style when you listen to his sound. He sounds like Hendrix vocally, and to a point. To a point.
It sure looks like him. If you look, well, you've watched some old, yeah, watch some old concert videos, it looks like Hendrix up there.
Yeah, that big fro going on. Yeah. But yeah, man, the guitar works tremendous in the background. I think the song is very good overall. It's a little bit of a letdown from track one and two, in my opinion, but it's still a very good song. I'm at a 6. Jesse, what'd you think about Running Back?
I like this song. I mean, you kind of, I guess after Jailbreak, you know, and then after Angel from the Coast, you might need a little bit of a break.
Breather.
Right? Yeah. And this is not a bad song. I like it. It's not one of my favorites. It's a mellow song. And my only other note other than it's mellow was big Van Morrison vibes.
Ah,
you know, kind of.
Because I can hear that, yeah.
This song is basically like reading a poem over kind of like a shuffly little beat. You know what I mean? And I don't know. It's basically like a, I don't know, Phil Lynott has a way with his delivery, you know, in a lot of cases, and it's like he's reading, and I think he wrote a couple of like books of poetry and stuff later on.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I think that kind of comes through in how he kind of structures, or how he, I don't even know, yeah, basically just how he focuses on certain words during the verses and stuff, and it kind of comes through in this song. It's not my favorite, but I do like this song, and I gave it a 5.
All right, fair enough. Chris, what'd you think about Running Back?
Yet another one that doesn't have any song facts. Right. Oh, it's got a real swing to it. I kind of like that swing that goes throughout. It's like a flow kind of to it, I guess. It's very laid back. It's got a little bit of saxophone in there if you listen. Some hand claps in the solo as far as that goes. I think the black background vocals blend well. I think Phil, I'm not sure who all is singing background with this group, but they do a great job with Phil on the way they kind of blend together on this. I thought it's weird that you guys like didn't really seem to like this one as much. I think I actually prefer it slightly to Angel from the Coast, but I kind of like those kind of like laid back tunes. Yeah, I gave it a 7.5, and it's just they're very similar, the 2 and 3 score wise for me, but yeah, I think it's a solid tune.
It's all in how you hear it, man. Like you said, I think it was a great, I mean, I think it's very good. You know, there's nothing wrong with the tune. I prefer Jailbreak and Angel from the Coast a little more far, but nonetheless, we'll roll this thing on to track 4. It's called Romeo and a Lonely Girl.
Romeo and the Lonely Girl, they seem to hit it off. Till Romeo, he told the Lonely Girl, I must take my leave, my love. It was these few words I overheard, thought I would move in, but before I could, the lonely girl had fallen in love with him.
Oh, poor Romeo, sitting all on his own. Oh, poor Romeo.
Romeo, he had it rough. Guy you'd like to burn.
Okay. So with Romeo and the Lonely Girl, I love how we've got like this funk vibe going on in two songs so far in this record. I will say that Phil vocally sounding great, of course. The bass and drums are keeping this tune in line. And man, the lyric "Never Judge Lovers by Good Looking Covers" is absolutely great. Oh my God, that's fantastic. The guitar solo, it may be simple, but I think it's one of the better ones on the album. Once again, Phil sounds good on the bass. His bass line is so fitting to this track. Guitarist Scott Gorham is absolutely the hero in this song because I know he's the one that took the main lead in this, and he absolutely kills it. I think this was great, Chris. I'm at a 7. Jesse, what'd you think?
Again, I like most of this album. This song is great. The drum fills, they blend in. They belong. They're not off-putting or anything like that, but they also stand out at the same time. It's just perfect. I mean, even before you get through the first verse, there's two fantastic drum fills. But they're so subtle, yeah. It doesn't stand out, right? But it stands out just enough to be great, but it's not off-putting or anything like that. It's not show-offy or anything like that. The guitar tone is great. The solo, when you get into the solo, it's actually I find it soothing. It is.
It's nice,
It's just a fantastic solo, but it's not, some solos are there to get you pumped up. This one you can just kind of I don't know, it's just a soothing sound. I love it. And Jimmy hit on it, and Never Judge Lovers by Good Looking Covers. He took a cliche saying, never judge a book by its cover, and he made it cool and made it fit into a love song, in a way that wasn't cheesy. He kind of put his own spin to it. You know what I mean? And I'm not sure at what age you learn these cliche sayings and things like that. But hearing this, when I was in elementary school, I quite possibly could have heard this before I heard Don't Judge a Book by Its Cover, and maybe heard that and was like, oh yeah, the guy from Thin Lizzy. You know what I mean? They ripped him off with that, or something. I don't know. But I like that. That stands out. He took a cliche and he made it kind of cool, put his own spin on it.
That's awesome, man. All right.
So I gave that one an 8. I like the song a lot, yeah.
Oh, dude, yeah. So we got an excellent on that one. Chris, what do you think about Romeo and Lonely Girl?
Okay, well, there's no song facts on this one either. We had a string there where there weren't any the rest of the way. All but one song has some. So as far as this goes, I'm right there with you, Jesse. I gave it an 8 as well. I think it's an excellent song. The drum, what do you call those drum fills? It's kind of between the spaces of the song. Yeah, fantastic. Really good. This song to me feels a little ahead of its time. I feel like there's a lot of current alternative rock groups that have this sound. Young Giant comes to mind. It just kind of gives that like you're kind of at a house party in college or something, and some guys playing in the background, those clean guitar tones that they have in this song, very much reminiscent of that kind of more modern music. And I don't know if those guys kind of stole that sound from Thin Lizzy or not. I don't know, steal's not right, but they're probably maybe influenced by them to some degree. Right. Rhythm section again, strong. It really is. I think it's my sleeper of the night. I really do. I think it's a very understated song, but the fact that it feels like it could be on the radio today and you wouldn't think this came out in 1976 speaks volumes to me. Yeah, I give it an 8.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
All right. Well, let's go to track 5. It's called Warriors, and I think it's the last song on the first side of this record.
Just ask those who've been before you what faith the future holds. It ain't pretty, it ain't pretty, it ain't pretty, it ain't pretty. I am a messenger. The message here you must know. I am the warrior, warrior, warrior. I deliver the fatal blow. Scar. See, my heart is ruled by Venus and my head by Mars.
Perfect place to end this one. That right there, friends, is a ZZ Top transition.
Oh, you stole my notes, man. That's exactly what I said. Transition.
Nonetheless.
It feels like ZZ Top.
Oh, my God. All right, so Warrior, the bass is really outstanding. Scott's giving some power chord love during the intro. Of course, Brian's backing him up on it. Man, I tell you what, this song starts coming together at that smashing drum beat, and it starts working out so nicely. I'm telling you, the riffs take over. Phil starts using some vocal magic with some delays. And this song, he sounds more like Jimi Hendrix than any other song because he's using those effects, I believe. I'm telling you, this song is absolutely a grower on me as well throughout the week. It's one I'd forgotten about. I just hadn't listened to it in so long. I will say that it was a little bit of a shock that when I was like, I was just hearing this Jimi Hendrix stuff, and I'd never put that together all these years ago. So, and I've been on a Hendrix kick as of late. So I was like, oh my God, that's why I'm saying it. It's fresh in my mind. But no, you know, there's no doubt this one's somewhere between great and excellent, and I'm borderline excellent on it, but currently I'm at a 7.5, and I might be, you may not have to talk me too hard to go to 8. Jesse, what do you think about Warrior?
Man, this is a cool song. And like, if I had to, like, I tried to just kind of write down on paper, like, what this song is, right? In my own kind of simpleton way, right? So when I do that, it's just like a little timeline. It's just a linear chart.
Yeah.
Cool bass intro, killer drums, mean riffs, more killer drums, pagan style chanting, and more awesome drums. Yeah. That basically sums this song up, right?
You did,
and,
yeah.
And I, you know, this wasn't always, this is not really one of my favorite songs. It's just a good song. Like, it's a really good song.
I got you.
And during that first verse, you know, right after he says, I am the warrior, for some reason, as a kid, I would hear this song and I could just imagine myself like running slow motion and doing like navigating my way through a very difficult obstacle course. You know what I mean? Doing the tires, you run through the tires, going on some monkey bars over some muddy water or something while it's playing the warrior in the background. I don't know. Oh, it's just God. That how That's I kind of envisioned this great. As a kid. Cause like I said, I was first exposed to this as a young kid and your mind runs wild, you know, when you're just, you're listening to music, and that's kind of the stuff. Beautiful. I still remember, you know, about,
wow.
You know, about this song. So I gave this one a 9.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Outstanding. Fantastic. So you didn't like it that much. So we got, we're dropping that.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I look at it from the perspective.
I'm playing, dude. I'm playing.
It's not so much my, you know, favorite song, but it's a great song and it's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I kind of rated it based on like how I felt about the song, you know, being like how good the song is, not so much how much I really liked it.
Oh, yeah. No, dude. It's great tune. Great, great tune. All right, Chris, talk to us. What'd you think about The Warrior?
There's a little song facts on this. This song originally featured on Thin Lizzy's 1976 Jailbreak LP. 2 years later, it was included on Live and Dangerous, a live double album recorded in London in 1976 and Toronto in 1977. Live and Dangerous has received acclaim from several sources as one of the most popular rock live albums. It was ranked number one in 2010. In planetrock.com's greatest live album, for whatever they know. I'm not sure I'm going to call them the definitive source on this, but they did think it was the best live album of all time in their minds. Oh, wow. Scott Gorham told Song Facts, I think probably every song on Live and Dangerous is better than the studio versions, including this one. So like the fact that Scott Gorham seemed to think that the live album or version of this was better than you know, the LP on this one, there might be something to that. I don't know. I mean, I will say the videos I watched of these guys live, they were phenomenal live. They really did bring it. I'm not sure what made that pop up on Song Facts so much, because I think some of these other songs were probably on the live one as well, but just what it is. My rating on this, you're right, Jimmy, it does sound like Hendrix vocally. When I wrote these down, two things I wrote, that transition feels so much like it could have been on an old ZZ Top album.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like a Gene Simmons feel to this thing, man. I can almost hear like God of Thunder kind of like vocals on this song, the way that comes across.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I told Jesse there before you got on, I felt like the cover of this album looks a whole lot
like, it's like a Kiss cover. Hotter than hell. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Destroyers or something like that, where they're all like running through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of them.
So that, I don't know. Like, maybe that got in my head when I was looking at the cover. I was like, this sounds a little bit like a Kiss song. I don't know. Probably not. I think you're closer to correct with Hendrix, actually, as far as the vocals go. But I like how this song kind of takes like a 180, you know, right halfway through. It's not the only time tonight that happens. There are other songs on this album where it just feels like a totally different song about halfway through. They just completely flip it and make it into something else. And again, you got a guitar solo that kind of turns into like a little bit of a mini drum solo at the end of that on this song. And that's fantastic. This guy, man, what's his name, Jesse? I know you know. What's the drummer's name on this?
I don't know the drummer's name. Can't think of it off the top of my head.
Let me pull it
up. Brian Downey.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, like, he may be the only remaining member of this band that was from it from the beginning, you know what I mean? Because I think they're still touring maybe with him and nobody else. So he's been around a while. What's that?
Is Scott Gorham not alive anymore? I thought he was still working.
He may be. You know what? Maybe the way I read it was the most... Okay. I'm not going to start reading.
Yeah, we'd go down a rabbit hole.
At the very least, maybe the longest continuous member, where maybe Gorham left for Llewellyn and came back or something. I don't know.
I think
caveat, I may not know what the hell I'm talking about. I just kind of read that and then I'll shoot. So completely ignore that if that's wrong.
But you're right. You're right. Gorham did leave for a while and he came back. So I was like, I thought he was still with him. Yeah.
Well, he may be. Yeah. That's probably what I was reading. Anyway, I gave it an 8 as well, Jesse. I think it's an excellent song. I gave the other one my sleeper, but this one definitely could have been in the running for that as well. It's a very solid song.
Agreed. Yeah, it could very well fall into the sleeper category if you weren't familiar with it, for sure. All right, so we'll go on to the probably the track everybody knows. It's track 6. It's called The Boys Are Back in Town. Hit it, Chris.
Change had much to say, but man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. I told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
So the boys are back in town. I would dare say this is probably the most famous song in Thin Lizzy's discography. I grew up hearing this one a lot. I mean, sometimes I judge a song by the instant you hear it and you know it. That's this song. As soon as that first riff goes on, you're like, oh, boys are back in town. And it's absolutely a rocker. I mean, this is the one, if I hear it come on the radio to this day, I'll let it play through because it's that good. I grew up listening to this one a lot because it may have been just classic rock radio, or it could have been maybe MTV. I know in the early days of MTV, they were playing some of the live, at least what looked like live videos of Thin Lizzy back in those days. It's probably just the album recording with the live shots in the background. But, this tune is just Thin Lizzy. It's period. Thin Lizzy, and it works. I love everything about it. I cannot deny the fame this song has brought these guys, and it's for a very good reason. It's a staple in classic rock, of course. It has everything that works. That bass line going throughout this entire song, that is just a trip. I mean, he's rocking it out. I mean, I think it sounds like these guys are having fun. With that being said, everything works, in the words of Anthony and you, Chris. It all works. This is absolute perfection. It's my second 10 of the night. Jesse.
I mean, I agree. This is a great song. And you could come in on multiple parts of this song. Like, if you just turn on your,
and
on a classic rock station, and whether it's the opening chords, or if you come in the very middle, or if you come in at the very end, like, as soon as you hear it, like, you know what this is, for good reason. Because this is like one of the best classic rock songs of all time, in my eyes.
And Jesse, I don't want to interrupt you, but I forgot to mention, in my head, I can hum the guitar solo right now without even hearing it, because it's ingrained, It's one of those things that just sticks. It's kind of like the solo to Freebird. I mean, everybody knows it. It's just there. You know what I mean? This is one of those songs.
Yeah. And like I said, this is one of those songs that you know, when I first heard it, I was like, I like this song. And the highest praise I can give a song is it makes me feel good to hear it. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, like, I mean, that's like technical,
perfect,
you know, word. Abilities and all that stuff. That's great. Like, but this song makes me feel good to hear it. Everything's, it's instantly recognizable. It's upbeat. It's melodic. The drums have that kind of shuffle. I always like the drums.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's yeah. kind of, it's got some swing and some shuffle to it. The guitars, I don't know the technical term for it, but you know, like a dual harmony, whatever, when the guys are playing the same thing, like this song, like, and that's what people will say about Thin Lizzy. They talk about the two guitarists. That's the main thing that stands out.
Yeah.
And this is what they're talking about. This is a great song, and I give it a 10.
Fantastic. Chris, sum this thing up. The boys are back in town.
Okay, well, on to song facts here. This is a pretty interesting song, facts on this one. Written by group leader Phil Lynott, The Boys Are Back in Town reflects Thin Lizzy's rough and tumble composure with working class roots. The song was a way of connecting with their fans who had similar sensibilities. Now, this part cracks me up. Thin Lizzy would often stir up trouble and end up in fights. The roadies were chosen based in part on their pugilistic skills. So they like hard guys that could fight, basically, to be their roadies. The group also drank heavily and had a blast. This song became their calling card. The lifestyle did take a tragic toll on Lynott, who died in 1986 after 36 years. His body broke down from years of drug and alcohol abuse. Yeah. One more kind of interesting fact on this song. People in Manchester, England will tell you The Boys Are Back in Town is about the Quality Street Gang, a criminal enterprise not unlike the Mafia. Phil Lynott spent much of his youth in Manchester, where his mom ran a club called The Showbiz, and that gang would often hang out there, always dressed to kill. So they were named that because of their fashion sense. And one last thing on that, a key member of this gang was a fellow named Jimmy the Weed Donnelly. And there's a song on the next album called Johnny the Fox Meets Jimmy the Weed. And that's kind of what that's about as well. So, yeah,
you know, Johnny the Fox, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's a lot of story on this. It's pretty interesting when you kind of dig into that. The thing that cracked me up the most is them hiring guys that could fight just because that's they knew hilarious. They were going to get a lot of fights and they need the backup.
Oh my God.
All right. So, yeah, my notes on this. I mean, it's pretty much echoes what you said. It's an extremely fun song. It puts a smile on your face. The chorus is ridiculously singable. It's got over 300 million streams on Spotify, by far their most. There's no doubt it's iconic. And not only is it iconic, it's just a fun song, a good song that you'd never skip on the radio. Yeah, it's an easy 10. There's no question about that.
Fantastic. All right. Let's go to track 7. It's called Fight or Fall.
Brothers, here I stand. Spread my wings and take command. Sky, he just a plan. The boy become a man. After all this time, I tell myself that I'm not just wasting time. Oh, you know I'm not that way inclined.
All right, Fight or Fall. And this one right here is a little bit of a slowdown. You know, after what we've heard throughout the record, you know, this one right here almost sounds like it doesn't quite fit on this record to an extent, at least in my ears. I'm not saying it's bad. The song absolutely has tones of excellence, but something here in this song just didn't work for me. Maybe it's a little depressing. You know, lyrically and sonically, you know, I do think that it's a good song. And that's really about where I'm going to stand. I'm going to give this one a 5. I think it's good. It's not bad. It's just, you know, maybe didn't fit where I thought it should fit on here. It just didn't grab me. That's how I see it. What do you think about it, yeah. Jesse?
Again, I mean, I like this whole album. I like this song, but it's, you know, it's not my favorite. It's mm-hmm. it's very mellow, almost like a mellow Eagles song, or like maybe the heaviest James Taylor song, if such a thing exists. You know, it's kind of in
right,
that
right,
vein
right.
Of
like
call it Jackson Taylor. Brown tune. What kind of yeah, split
yeah,
the
yeah,
difference
something
on
like that? You know, the solo, it's mellow, yet it's but it's still tasteful. I like it. I mean, it's a good solo. It just kind of like hangs out there in the wind. You know, I like that. The part that stands out most in this song is there's one part where he says, I'm telling myself, and it bounces in the stereo field from left to right. So if you're like in a, you know, sitting in front of a stereo or a car stereo where I first heard it, or in headphones, the way that line bounces back and forth, I like that. That's probably kind of my favorite part about this song. It's just kind of a cool effect having it bounce around like that. So I give this one a 5. You know
okay.
what I mean? I don't have a whole lot more to say about it. I like it, but you know, it's not my favorite.
All right, fair enough. Chris, what do you think about Fight or Fall?
Chris's Flush of the Week.
Yeah, I actually gave it a 5 as well, so that's a 15 total on this one. There were no song facts on this song, by the way. You know, it is a nice little mellow tune, and it's got a nice kind of little basic guitar solo to it. It's effective. It's not over the top. It's just an easy song. You nailed it, man. It felt like the Eagles. That's kind of what I thought, too. I didn't have the mindset to write that down in this, and there's nothing wrong. By the way, I like the Eagles. There's nothing wrong with that, but yeah. But I'm just saying that, like, it's not rock, really, as far as that goes. I think the vocals are solid. It just doesn't move the needle a lot. I mean, it's good, nothing more than that. And okay. Yeah, it's a 5 for me as well.
Fair enough. All right, let's go to track 8. It's called Cowboy Song. All right, so the Cowboy Song, it's another slower song starting out. I know we didn't catch that part, but I will say this. The guitar tone is very soothing, and all of a sudden the gates open up and this thing becomes a rocker, which is what we were hearing, the rocking parts about the song. I see this song to be a tale of the band on the road. I know, obviously, with their rough and tumble style and out looking for the ladies, I would dare say I could see the comparison with the lyrics on this for that. Scott blast out just an incredible guitar solo on this one, and it takes over the song, to be honest with you. The rhythm section holds its own, of course. I do find this to be somewhere between very good and great. I'm at a 6.5. Jesse, what do you think about Cowboy Song?
I love this song.
Too low.
This is a fantastic song. Like the guitar work in this, like rivals, yeah, yeah. The boys are back. You know what I mean? But the same sentiment applies. Like, it's like melodic, it's upbeat, you know, aside from like the kind of country-ish intro. This is basically like a, you know, cowboy story, country music song set to good rock music. I love the solo. I mean, like, this is one of the best solos on this album. And you're right, it kind of does take over the song, but like in a good way. This solo belongs. The solo is perfect for this song, because a lot of times you hear a solo and it sounds like you just put a solo in there for the sake of putting a solo in this song. You know what I mean?
Right.
And this does not. It's almost like you could have wrote this song around this solo. You know what I mean? Everything fits perfectly together. So I love this song. Even when somebody covers this song and doesn't do the greatest job of it, it's still great because it's such a great song. Like Super Suckers do a pretty good cover of it. But anytime you hear somebody cover
this. Yeah, that's what I heard. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a good cover. It's a good cover, but like somebody could like the worst cover in the world of this song would still be fantastic because it's such a good song. Like you can't destroy this song. That's how I see it. So I gave it a 10. I love this song.
Wow. All right, Chris, educate me.
Okay, song facts on this one. Some pretty good notes here. Cowboy Song is described by Phil Lynott's biographer, Mark Rutherford, as a cross between Clint Eastwood and Rudolph Valentino with a bit of George Best thrown in for good measure. Now, do you guys know who George Best is?
Yeah, I don't know. Manchester United.
He's kind of like he's almost like a Yogi Berra in a way. He always had these quotes that the English people love that he throws out. He's kind of a womanizer. So I guess they get that Rudolph Valentino as well with that. And then the Clint Eastwood top there. That's a pretty good description, I think. that always cracked me up. And he says, though the song is strong lyrically, bass player and writer Lynott was never afraid to allow the Axemen to dominate a track, which they absolutely do on this song. And it features some typically blistering Lizzie soloing. Cowboy Song was released on Mercury label in 1976, backed by Angel from the Coast. So the flip side of this single was Angel from the Coast, in case you guys are curious about that.
Nice.
Yeah, that's all the notes on that one, really. But man, I gotta say, I'm kind of between both of you guys. I know Jesse 10, and you made some comments the other day there that made me think you might give this a really high score because you kind of let on that it's one of your favorite songs by these guys. The groove is just tremendous in this, and those dueling guitars and that solo are just fantastic. You know, it's another one where it feels like it takes like 180 degree turn somewhere and halfway through this song. Vocally, it's solid. I don't know how many sleepers you can give a song. I mean, this would be a sleeper maybe, except for the fact that it was a single. That said, I didn't know it was a single before I listened to this album, so I'm not sure that. Regardless, I'm sticking with my Romeo and the Lonely Girl being my sleeper because I just thoroughly enjoyed that song. That said, it's a close second. I gave it 8.5. I'm kind of between you guys on this. I think it's kind of right there between excellent and outstanding. I do like the twists and turns and the guitar solos and the drum fills as well. The rhythm section yet again just pushes the hell out of the song. Quality tune. Yeah.
Fantastic. All right. So, wow. Final track is coming up. It's called Emerald. Hit it, Chris. All right, guys, so Emerald is going to be one of those songs that is a closer of closers. I love how this song starts out. It's a little bit darker, both musically and lyrically. I think it's the perfect placement for this song. Longtime listeners of this podcast know how I love rocking songs to close out albums, leaving the listener yearning for more or the next record that may be coming out. I love this song. I would dare say this is my second favorite song on this album, and this would be my second sleeper because I know I called Angel a sleeper. This is one of those things that's just unusual. And I said my review is going to be a little bit different this time because I normally wouldn't say there's two sleepers on here. But to me, in my ears, this is absolutely a sleeper. I know it was a B-side of The Boys Are Back in Town. Could you imagine that? Yeah, holy moly. What a flip side. But, you know, I guess there's a first time for everything. And this is my first time of saying there's two sleepers on this record. So, oh my God, I love it. Everything in the song works. This is an element of progressive classic rock, you know, reminiscent of Yes, those famous bands from the early 70s that could rock it out. And I love it. Freaking love it. I mean, you walk this one down. What makes this song works? You name it. The drums, check. The bass, check. Vocals, check. The guitar, near perfection for this tune. That's a check. Maybe this is the best solo on the record. I can almost argue that. The song is absolutely outstanding. I'm at a 9. Jesse.
Nice. Yeah, this is a good, heavy song. I mean, there's parts of like the tone and kind of that riff. It's not as heavy as Sabbath, but it's kind of...
It's that vibe.
Yeah, it's getting there. Yeah. Right? And the drums are awesome. Kind of the off-time stuff. There's a lot of feels, but they're still... They don't take over the song. There's a part in the middle where the guitars come together, and it almost has a Maiden-ish feel. Kind of similar to, yeah, you know, kind of like an Iron Maiden song.
It does. That's absolutely progressive.
And the rhythm to this is like... Like you could slow that down and hear a lot of like kind of some black metal bands and stuff like that almost have, it's like a death march kind of sound. It like when I hear the beginning part of that song where the drums kick in, it sounds like what you would imagine like people marching off the war and like the Irish Civil War, like you're marching across the hillside, you know, possibly getting ready to meet your death. Like that's kind of like the vibe I get from that. It's just a good song. And then once you get into it and you have, the guitars are bouncing back and forth. One's just kind of on the normal distorted channel. One's kind of going through like a phaser effect. So it's kind of got a phase sound. And then it comes together and it's all kind of through a phaser or something like that. It's a cool song. And again, not my favorite, but it is a cool song. There's a lot of cool elements to it. And it's definitely different than the rest of the album. It's got a darker, heavier feel. And I think it's a good way to end the album. I gave it a 9.
Fantastic. Chris, talk to us.
Okay, we'll go to song facts here. Tell you what, there's a description that this biographer of Phil Lynott's gave that is probably spot on with what you guys are trying to say. And like when I read it, that's like, oh my God, that's perfect. Okay. According to Phil Lynott's biographer, Mark Rutherford, the group composition Emerald was the last word on the author's burning fascination with Irish history, a blood-curdling clash of steel and morality embedded upon a spectacular Gaelic guitar riff. That's the way he describes his song. So it's pretty good, I think, as far as that goes. The song originated from a riff that Phil had. Guitarist Scott Gorham told Song Facts. It's got the real sort of Irishy feel to it. Brian Robertson and I, we came up with harmony and guitars there, but the main riff came straight out of Phil. It's a song about ancient times in Ireland, talking about the warring clans and all that. It's pretty much all there was on that, but I mean, they kind of go on a little more to talk about how it was a launching pad for the style of writing between the two guitarists, which I guess these guys are kind of known for, really. So that's all kind of interesting.
Oh yeah.
As far as my notes, excellent closer. You know, I really wanted to pull the last minute of that song, just let it play out, but there's no vocals in it. And I was like, well, we're just gonna have like a jam session for a minute there.
How dare you?
But I do think the last minute of this song is just tremendous. I love the way they just jam like crazy, and it's a perfect way to close this album, really. It's another song that kind of does it like a 180. Once it kind of kicks into that one part, and it just like takes off and goes. Great song. You know, it's weird. It's like a storyteller's song. I mean, it's clearly about like ancient Irish history and stuff like that, but you know, it kind of puts me in mind of some of these other groups we've listened to, like maybe Amon Amarth or Manowar or something like that. These bands that have like, you know, they're more Viking oriented with their history, but it's almost like D&D rock, you know, like Dungeons and Dragons rock. Like it's kind of nerdy in a way, but it's fantastic. Like the final outcome is, but if you really dig in and get in the lyrics and stuff, you might get pretty far in the weeds with that. I gave it a 9 as well. I think it was an outstanding way to close the album.
Awesome.
I get the feeling this is a fan favorite, but when they play this in concert, the place just goes crazy because of the, you know, just the way it, you know, the riff. Now, I don't know. Are they still touring? I mean, I know the singer died a long time ago. I don't know if they've replaced him or what.
Well, they did replace him years ago with Bob Geldof, of all people.
Really?
Yeah, for in like an 80, maybe 87 or 87, just for a little while. They were still touring. I don't know if they're still touring now. But vocally, some guy named Ricky Warwick, and he's been with them since 2010. The drummer is now a guy named Scott Travis, by the way. He's been there since 2016.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So now check this out. Troy Sanders has helped them out play bass guitar since 2019 on occasion. He's from Mastodon.
So oh, really?
That is crazy. Yeah. So gotcha. that's pretty awesome. If I'm reading it correctly, yeah, it is. It's definitely him. I see the picture. It's definitely Troy from Mastodon. One of my favorite rock or metal bands out there. But yeah, it's fantastic.
Viking rock. Those guys look like a bunch of Vikings up on stage.
He does for sure. Good Lord. Yeah. Nonetheless, all right, so let's roll us out to our final thoughts of the record. I just got a brief summary. First of all, I'm gonna go ahead and say, Jesse, great pick. Holy moly, I was familiar with this album. Listened to it many times when I was a lot younger, but I would say it'd been at least 20 years since I've done this back to back, track one through track nine. And it's a darn shame. I mean, this album's a gem, and I didn't realize, or maybe just didn't appreciate how good it was when I was younger. And it brought back a lot of memories. The riffs, the guitar work, the vocals throughout the record. And although my scoring may show some lower scores, there isn't a song on this record that is a skipper to my ears, and nothing did score less than good. My overall did bounce to 7.8. I'm going to bump that one up to an 8 because I think it's a great record in general, and it certainly is a classic rock album that deserves the attention from any listener of this podcast as well as any fan of classic rock. Highly recommended. Jesse, what's your final thoughts?
I'm like you. This is a good album start to finish. There's high spots and low spots. But, that's kind of right. What makes a good album.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You kind of up and down. If it's not a roller coaster ride, it might be too intense or too boring. Right,
right.
So, but I really like this one. And doing this was great. And I appreciate you guys having me on because this is one of those albums that I had for years. I listened to and knew nothing about anything. I didn't know half the names of the songs. You know what I mean? Like Fight or Fall, I thought was Brother Brother. That's just what I referred to it as.
Because it sounded lyrically,
I had a blank tape that my Uncle Stevie made, for us. And that's what I had to listen to. And real quick, I mentioned to Chris the other day, I was reading a book about the 90s by Chuck Klosterman. And he was talking about in the 90s, and this also goes for prior decades. Like it was a time where you were okay with not knowing stuff. Like you could hear an album and be like, oh, that's great. Now I immediately go and jump online and I'm like, where are these guys from? Let me check out their other stuff. How long have they been together? What was the band that the drummer was in before this? I'd like to hear them. None of that. I went for years and years just knowing the songs on this album, the words, and how it sounded. That was it. I didn't know what the album cover looked like until probably later in the 90s. And it was great. It was kind of a prime example of taking a piece of art for exactly what it is. Nothing else. Just the sound. Not even the album cover or anything like that. And it was great then and it's great now.
Nice. Very, very well summarized. Chris, your final thoughts.
Well, I agree. This was a ridiculously good pick. This album potentially might wind up in my top five of the week. At the end of the year, we'll always kind of say, okay, these are our top five albums that we reviewed. Each one of us will give our top five. This very well could land in it. It's just one of these albums, I think. I knew Jailbreak and Boys Are Back in Town. Really, beyond that, I guess they did Whiskey in a Jar, too, so I'm familiar with that. But for the most part, I just didn't know much about Thin Lizzy at all. And not only did I listen to this album several times this week, but I also listened to some other stuff by them, and it's all really good. And it's kind of criminally underrated, in my opinion. I'm not sure why it's not as well in the grand scheme of things in 70s rock. Obviously Boys in Backer Town is huge and you hear that all the time, but that's pretty much all you ever hear on the radio by them. They should have had more singles, but I guess that's just the way it was. Jesse, I see why you picked this album. These guys, the rhythm section is maybe the best. We've been doing this podcast 3 years. I venture to say it might be the best rhythm section we've listened to. I feel like the drummer is so tastefully done. It's not over the top. It fits the music perfectly, and then Phil being the bass player as well, he drives it with the bass. He does a great job with that. And then you get the two guitarists that are ridiculously talented. The way they harmonize on their solos and stuff, that's just tremendous. I think I've come to realize the more I do these reviews and the more I learn about this music that I grew up in the wrong decade. We listen to 80s rock all the time. But I really prefer 70s rock. I've come to realize that over the years. We were talking about how that reminded, one part of the, I guess it was Warriors there, it just sounded like a transition from ZZ Top. Anytime I compare something, it's like, okay, I said Kiss. Well, that's from the 70s. Jimmy was saying Hendrix, I guess that maybe was 60s.
Yeah.
But really, man, it's like all my comparisons tend to come from there. and all the stuff that I kind of like. And then there's some new music that I like, but a lot of times it feels like stuff from 70s, you know, classic rock as far as that goes. But yeah, my overall in this was an 8.0 when I just rounded it up. That's a pretty high score to not like to round it all. I mean, that was just exactly what my score was when I tallied it up. So,
right.
I mean, that's excellent in our book. So I think that's pretty fair for this album. Jesse, did you give a number on yours? I can't remember.
You got that. I forgot. 8.3 is what I had.
8.3.
Oh, okay. Yeah. My bad, Jesse. You were just singing the praises of it. I was like,
and you know, I really do think the last two songs, Cowboy Song and Emerald, are great, great ways to close. I mean, you're just going out on a high note with those two back to back. I mean, they really are. Yeah.
I agree. All right. So we can, we'll go ahead and wrap this thing up. Great bonus episode. Jesse, thank you for your time. Thank you for the suggestion. Like I said, this was an absolute treasure that I hadn't listened to in a long time. I know we'll be back to normal next week. Anthony will be back. We'll be doing the George Strait, if I'm not mistaken. That is our next review. I know since Anthony's not here, I'm going to go ahead and plug his podcast. Guys, he's got a new episode dropping this week for the Songlines and Tan Lines podcast. He does it every week. I bet money he'll have a new episode drop Wednesday morning around 6 a.m. But check that out. And guys, for the Audible Ecstasy podcast, this is Jimmy.
This is Chris.
This is Jesse.
And this is it.
Near the border, there were many born today.